copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
My name is John Stevens. I'm from the UK. I'm the National Director of the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches, which is a national group of about 630 gospel-centered evangelical free churches across the UK. I lead a team that serve and support those churches to help them to be as effective as possible in their ministry in the UK. Our mission is to be independent churches working together to reach Britain for Christ. I've been coming to the forum for about 7 years. I lead the network for leaders of Christian organisations, and it's great to be able to be with you this afternoon for this workshop. Our topic is understanding and avoiding apostasy, so I hope that's what you're expecting to speak through this session. Here we are. Well, I guess for all of us, if you've been in Christian ministry for any length of time, if you've been a Christian for a length of time, you will have tragically and sadly seen people who professed faith in Christ, who seemed to be going on with the Lord, seemed to be enthusiastic about following the Lord Jesus, but who somewhere along the line have abandoned the faith and turned away from the faith. We're all familiar in church ministry and church leadership with that tragic situation. But it's also true that there are leaders who fall away. And in some sense, that's perhaps even more surprising and very often shocking, both to Christians who have looked to them for leadership, also perhaps to leaders for whom it brings home to them the possibility that they themselves might fall away. So even in this last year, there have been a number of high-profile leaders who have said that they have abandoned the Christian faith and become kind of atheists or unbelievers. So, for example, Joshua Harris, who used to lead Sovereign Grace Ministries in the United States, famous for his book I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Marty Sampson, who was a worship leader with Hillsong, both of them in the last year have turned away from the faith and said that they're no longer believers. Bart Campolo, who is Tony Campolo's son, has also announced that he has become an atheist and has become quite a vociferous atheist. There are other kind of high-profile people who would have had a Christian faith in the past. So Bart Ehrman is one of the strongest critics of evangelical Christianity, arguing that the Bible is not reliable. He began as an evangelical Christian, but lost his faith and has then devoted his academic life to trying to undermine the Christian faith. And then there might be those who've turned so far away from orthodox Christian beliefs that in many ways it seems as though they have lost their faith. They no longer believe the fundamental convictions with which they began. You might think about people like Brian McLaren, who've moved further and further away from an evangelical understanding of the faith. What these leaders remind us is that none of us can take it for granted that we are immune from the danger of falling away. And these might be leaders who've had an influence on us, and it's unsettled our faith to hear that they have fallen away. So this is a really important issue for us to think about as leaders. But it's not just that there are leaders who have fallen away that we know of, perhaps from our own experience. This is also something that the Bible speaks about. Through the Bible, obviously, we read of many faithful leaders who make it to the end, who finish the race, who complete their service of God faithfully. But the Bible also warns us of leaders who seem to fall away from faith. We see that in the Old Testament. I think it's arguable that Saul is someone who appears to fall away from faith. He initially starts out professing faith. He's obviously chosen by God to be king, but he seems to progressively fall away from trusting God. At the end of his life, he even uses a witch to raise up the spirit of Samuel. Saul is never held out as an example of faith, and in many ways he stands as a contrast to David. Interestingly, both Saul and David sinned in various ways. The key difference is that David always repented of his sin, whereas Saul again and again excused his sin and tried to avoid blame. It seems to me that Solomon also is someone who, at the very least, is an example of someone losing the fervor of their faith, if not moving into apostasy. Solomon, of course, began seeking wisdom from God to lead and rule. But in the course of his life, he married many foreign wives. He worshipped foreign gods alongside the Lord. And again, he is never held up as an example of faith for God's people. Perhaps more clearly in the New Testament, we see examples of those who fall away. So Judas, who starts out of one of Jesus' disciples, but then ultimately rejects him and betrays him, is a paradigm example of apostasy. Again, it's worth contrasting Judas with Peter. Judas betrays Jesus. Peter denies Jesus. Peter repents. Even when he betrays Jesus, he breaks down in tears because he realizes the wickedness of what he's done, and he is then restored. He doesn't apostatize, whereas Judas, in contrast, turns away from Jesus and does not repent and turn back to him. The New Testament letters speak of those who have turned away from the faith. So Timothy grieves over various co-workers that he has sort of worked with in the cause of the gospel, who have at some point turned away from the faith and have actually undermined him and his ministry. So Demas, who has abandoned the faith too because he loves the world and he loves to be first. Alexander the metal worker, who has turned against him, both mentioned in 2 Timothy. And the book of the New Testament that deals with the issue of apostasy most is the book of Hebrews. The whole book of Hebrews is written really about the issue of apostasy. It's written to Christians from a Jewish background who are coming under increasing pressure from particularly the Jewish community, increasing persecution and social marginalization. So they're tempted to turn away from Christianity and turn back to Judaism. And the whole letter of the Hebrews is really written as one long sermon to persuade them not to commit apostasy, but to persevere in their faith and to keep trusting the Lord Jesus. Now, the book of Hebrews is written to the whole church, but no doubt amongst those who are its attended audience, there are leaders who are in danger of abandoning the faith and returning to Judaism. So not only do we know examples from church history, from our own experience, but the Bible also warns us of the danger of those who have professed faith, even served in ministry or leadership, who turn away from the faith. I guess that raises the question for us of why is it? Why is it that some people fall away from the faith? Why is it that leaders fall away? And it's helpful to recognize the variety of reasons that the New Testament gives, the common reasons why it is that people abandon the faith. Perhaps most significant here is Jesus' teaching in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, the well-known parable of the sower. As you'll know, the parable of the sower describes how the sower, which is a picture of Jesus spreading the word of God, sows the seed and it falls on different kinds of soil, the path, the stony ground, amongst the weeds, and then on the good soil. And that is a picture of the way that different people respond to the word. So the seed that falls on the path is like when the gospel is preached and people make no response at all. On the stony ground, the gospel seems to kind of grow very quickly, seems to produce a sort of an excited, positive response. But when the sun comes up, the plants shrivel and die. The seed amongst the weeds seems to be growing, but it doesn't produce ultimately a harvest because it's crowded out by the weeds. And then, of course, the seed on the good soil grows and produces a great harvest. I think that parable is a picture of The way that people fail to reach maturity, fail to endure and produce a harvest, even if they've apparently started out with Christian faith. So the parable of the sower pictures something of the apostasy that occurs. Similarly, in the book of Hebrews that we've already referred to, the book of Hebrews warns of how people will commit apostasy and abandon the faith, largely because of the dangers of persecution and the cost involved of keeping living for Jesus and serving him. So take those together, and there are a number of key factors that might lead to somebody committing apostasy according to the Bible, the things that influence them and that lead them astray. It might be false teaching. People who have been converted, have professed their faith, believe the gospel, but at some point they come into contact with false teaching that undermines their confidence or offers them an alternative form of salvation. And as a result, they abandon the faith they professed and adopt this new false teaching. That's what we see, for example, in the letter to the Galatians, where the Galatian Christians who've responded to the gospel are in danger of falling for the false teaching that says that they need to be circumcised in order to be saved. And Paul writes to them to warn them that if they adopt this false teaching, they'll be committing apostasy and they'll be turning away from the Lord Jesus. So it's the false teachers who have come in, maybe bringing them something novel and new, something they've never heard before, casting doubt on the teaching that they've received, that causes them to give up potentially on the gospel faith. And many people who have apostatized, it's often because of false teaching that they've received that has cast doubt on the gospel that they have believed. Perhaps picking up particularly on the parable of the sower, the other kind of common reasons for apostasy is because of suffering, because of persecution or hardship in the Christian life. Perhaps people started out with enthusiasm in the Christian faith. They turned to Christ because they believed that he would make their life better. He would make their life blessed. He would rescue them from difficulties and problems. And they discover in the Christian life that they begin to face suffering and persecution for the faith of Christ. Maybe they find themselves socially isolated. Maybe they find themselves turned away by friends and family. In some cultures and countries, they suffer active persecution, and some may even risk losing their life. When suffering comes, they abandon the faith in order to avoid suffering and persecution. Perhaps for others, it's distraction. They find that there are other things that take the place of Christ. So the parable of the sower speaks about the worries of this life, the problems of just survival every day, the alternative attractions of the world. Very often people apostatize and turn away from the faith because they're tempted and they want to commit sin. And they know that sinning isn't consistent with being a Christian. So maybe they want to commit sexual immorality. Maybe they want to leave their wife and be with somebody else. And so they justify their behavior by abandoning their faith. They've been distracted from faith in Christ by worry, or by the pleasures that seem to be available in the world. Perhaps for others, they become disappointed. And I think this is often the case with leaders, that perhaps as they seek to lead their churches, lead their ministries, they have high hopes and expectations of what God might do through them, of how they might be used by God. And over time, some of their hopes are disappointed. They don't see as much growth as they would like. Maybe they go through seasons of difficulty. They don't gain the respect that perhaps they like. They compare themselves with other leaders and they feel inadequate. And that disappointment causes them ultimately to abandon the faith. So those are just some of the common reasons why people fall into apostasy, why they abandon their faith and their trust in Christ. And I would imagine we can all think of people who've fallen away that where those factors have been at work, sometimes multiple factors are influencing a person to abandon their faith. And very often their abandoning their faith doesn't happen all at once. It's often a slow and gradual process. And often it occurs secretly in the heart, and only after a period of time do they publicly make clear that they have lost their faith and are no longer following Christ. So it's helpful to understand apostasy and what are the factors that cause apostasy, because that enables us to know how we can guard ourselves and guard others against this danger. So what do we need to do if we're going to guard ourselves against the danger of apostasy? Well, there are a number of things I think we ought to do and which the Bible urges us to do to help guard ourselves against the danger of apostasy. First and most importantly, we just simply need to be aware of the danger. When perhaps we hear of people committing apostasy, or when we read in the Bible of examples of apostasy, maybe we sort of think that will never happen to me. We might see that it's happened to other people, but we don't think that it will happen to us. And I think that's a dangerous attitude to take. There's a sort of an arrogance and confidence that is not appropriate. We ought to at least all be aware of the danger of apostasy and of giving up on our faith. Of course, we trust the promises of God. We believe that we have been genuinely converted, that God will keep us. But that shouldn't take away from us a desire to want to work to try to avoid falling into apostasy. We can't take for granted that there won't be challenges that will threaten our faith. So we need to be aware of the danger, rather than presuming that it will never be something that could happen to us. Secondly, it's hugely important that we have realistic expectations of the Christian life. As I said, many of the reasons why people fall into apostasy is because they have unrealistic expectations of what the Christian life will be like. So, for example, maybe they've heard the gospel preached. Maybe they've been convinced and convicted by it, and they've never ever thought that there are those who would raise apologetic arguments to, for example, the truth of the Bible, the truth of the resurrection. Maybe there are moral issues they've never thought about. And when they suddenly come across those questions, come across those issues, it causes doubts that undermine their faith. We need to have realistic expectations. We don't know the answer to every question. There will be intellectual challenges that we face as leaders. And when we face those, we shouldn't instantly be knocked off course in our faith. We need to recognise that those are things that we need to think about, that we need to read the Bible, that we need to talk to those who've already thought about those issues. And sometimes we have to recognise that, there won't be an answer to a particular question that maybe has been raised for us. A simple Christian faith doesn't mean that we're never going to have intellectual challenges that we have to address. Perhaps more importantly, the Bible is utterly realistic about the reality of persecution and suffering that are part and parcel of the Christian life. So Jesus teaching his disciples in John chapter 15, in the upper room, just before he was sort of betrayed and arrested and executed, taught his disciples that they would be persecuted just as he had been persecuted. No servant is above his master. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul taught the Christians that they would have to pass through many troubles to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We need to have realistic expectations of what the Christian life will be like. The Bible tells us that as Christians in this world, we are strangers and aliens. We don't belong to this world. People are hostile to us. So those sufferings that come along should not be a surprise to us. It's not a surprise, is it, that often people who have been brought up on the prosperity gospel, the idea that if only you believe and trust Jesus, all of your problems will be resolved, you'll enjoy health and wealth and happiness. It's not surprising that for many, when those expectations are disappointed, they give up on the faith. This is one of the reasons why it's so important that when we're sharing the gospel with people, we also speak about the cost of following Jesus and not just the blessings, because that helps people to have realistic expectations. If those are sort of negative things, things that we need to be aware of so that we can avoid them, the positive is to ensure that we keep on listening to the gospel so that we don't drift. Very often apostasy doesn't happen quickly and it doesn't happen intentionally. The book of Hebrews warns the readers of the danger of drifting. The picture is not of an active turning away from Christ, but of failing to keep listening to the gospel, to keep paying attention to what they've heard, to keep reminding themselves of the truth, with the result that they drift and sort of wake up and find themselves far away from Jesus. So this picture of drift is a really helpful one. If we don't actively keep our faith strong by listening to the gospel and keeping reminding ourselves that the gospel is true, then the danger is that we might drift and find that we have abandoned the faith. So Hebrews 2:1 urges Christians to pay more careful attention to what it is that they've heard. They don't need a new message. They don't need a different gospel, but they need to keep listening to the gospel they've heard. And then to admit and deal with your doubts. Inevitably, as Christians, as we go through life, as we confront challenges, we face doubts that need to be resolved. And it's not wise to deny those doubts, to pretend that they aren't there or to suppress them. We need to recognize them and then seek to deal with them, to see how they're answered by the truths of the gospel. Our faith needs to grow in strength. It's important to remember that we're saved by faith as small as a mustard seed, but we obviously want to grow to have strong faith. And in the course of our Christian life, there'll be times maybe in which our sort of faith is stronger and weaker, and we need to be willing to openly admit to our doubts and deal with them. And I think that is a particular problem for leaders. Leaders feel very exposed and are often very reluctant to be honest about their struggles and their doubts. And so they don't get help when they need help. So perhaps they're ashamed or they're embarrassed or they're afraid if they're struggling with various doubts. And if they fail to deal with those issues, it can undermine their faith. And it's rather like discovering that you've got symptoms of a disease. If you don't go to the doctor, if you don't go and get help, if you just leave it, it can get to the point at which the disease has become terminal, whereas at an earlier stage, you could have done something about it. The same is true of our temptations. So if one of the reasons that we turn away from the faith is because we're attracted to sin and want to disobey Jesus and live for ourselves, then again, admitting and acknowledging that we're facing temptation and getting help at an early stage is crucial. And a little bit later in the forum, I'm leading a workshop on fighting sin and temptation, which obviously closely connects with this area. Well, we'll be thinking about how as Christians we can deal with and confront the problem of temptation. Well, if we're to guard ourselves against the danger of apostasy, then we equally need to be prepared to help and support one another. Obviously, this is a personal battle, but we're part of the church. We're part of God's family. We're not just Christians on our own. And therefore, we need to be able to help one another. And I think particularly to help one another as leaders to stand firm in our faith. And the Bible encourages us to take action to help those who are perhaps drifting in their faith or who are in danger of falling away. So, for example, in the letter of Jude, Christians are urged to intervene to save those who they see falling away. Jude uses the very vivid picture of rescuing them from the fire. They're in danger of judgment if they turn away from Christ and sort of are caught by the false teaching or drawn into temptation. And we've got a responsibility to rescue them before it's too late, to intervene, to step in. Similarly, Jesus taught in his parable of the lost sheep that we're responsible to go and find those who have wandered astray. Now, we often think that the lost sheep, particularly in Matthew chapter 15, is all about the seeking of the lost, evangelism, and the rescue of unbelievers. But in Matthew chapter 18, the picture is much more of rescuing Christians, members of the people of God who are in danger of wandering astray. And the shepherd is to leave the 99 and go and find the wandering sheep, just as God found us. So there's a particular responsibility on leaders to be seeking for and after those who have wandered astray. So we're to take action to save and to rescue, to find and to bring back. But the Bible is also realistic that sometimes there will be those who turn away from the faith, and despite all of our best efforts, they don't repent, they don't return, they don't come back to faith in the Lord Jesus. And how does the New Testament understand that situation? How does it understand what has happened where a person has professed faith in Christ, but then turned away from faith and they don't return back to him? Well, obviously, this is an issue over which Christians have taken different views. It seems to me that the best way of understanding the New Testament teaching is to say that those who ultimately turn away and do not return and do not repent were never true believers in the first place. But yes, they professed faith in Christ. They did many of the things that believers might have done. They might even have been used of God, because God is able to use anyone. But the fact that they have abandoned the faith and they're no longer believing in Jesus and they don't repent and they don't return would suggest that they were never his in the first place. The book of Hebrews warns that for those who turn away from Christ and crucify him all over again, there's no easy way back because they fundamentally rejected Jesus. In 1 John, John talks about those who've gone out from John but and his community, but who were never really with him, again, suggesting that they were never true believers. So I think that's helpful for us to think about how we understand those who fall away and don't come back. Well, where can you find help in order to avoid apostasy? We've talked about the need to take this seriously and honestly, but where can we find help if we're in danger of drifting, danger of falling away? Well, I think there are a variety of things that the Bible tells us we ought to do that will be helpful to us. First and most importantly, we need to pray to Jesus for grace in our time of need. The book of Hebrews, again, encourages Christians to turn to Jesus. He is the great high priest who has died for our sins. He's ruling and reigning at God's right hand. And we can come to him to seek a grace in our time of need and temptation. So that is what the readers of the letter to the Hebrews needed to do. They were in danger of falling away because of the pressure of persecution and suffering. And the author wanted them to know that Jesus was sympathetic. He had been tested and tempted in every way that we are, which means that he understands, and that he is able to supply the grace that we need. In other words, the strength to stand firm. So we can come to Jesus for help. We need to keep our eyes fixed on the hope of heaven. So many of the reasons that we are tempted to apostatize and fall away are because our experience in this world is difficult or unfulfilling. And of course, for Christians, we don't live for life in this world. We think we're passing through this world. We're strangers. We're aliens. We don't expect to find our happiness and our fulfillment here in this world, not completely. We're looking ahead to the hope of heaven, to the new creation, when we will be with God and we will be with the Lord Jesus forever. Only then will we be fully freed from sin. Only then will we fully enjoy all of the blessings of belonging to God's kingdom. So as we live in this world, we need to keep our eyes fixed on that hope. So Hebrews 12, 1-3 urges us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith who has gone into glory. Romans 8 urges us to keep our eyes focused on the new creation to come. 2 Corinthians 14 reminds us that our troubles in this world need to be seen in the perspective of the glory that awaits. 1 Peter 1 verse 7 reminds us that we have a glorious eternal inheritance that's kept safe for us because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So if we're living for this world and we expect all of our fulfillment and blessing in this world, we're likely to be disappointed. We will face suffering, and so we need to keep our eyes fixed on the hope of heaven. And then, of course, we need to warn and encourage one another. We need to help each other to keep going, which means that we need to warn each other about the dangers of apostasy and keep urging one another not to abandon the faith, but also to encourage one another to keep going in the faith, to remind one another that it is worth it and that we have that great eternal hope. So the author of the letter to the Hebrews is warning the Christians against the dangers of apostasy. He's honest about how serious it is. He wants to urge them to remain faithful because if they turn away from Jesus, there is no other hope for salvation. At the same time, he urges the Christians to keep on meeting together with one another in chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, so that they can spur one another on to love and good deeds, so that they can keep going in the Christian faith. So we need to turn to Jesus for help. We need to focus on the hope of heaven, and we need to warn and encourage one another. How do we treat those who do fall away? Well, I've mentioned already that those who have not repented and returned, we need to recognize we're probably never true believers in the first place. But something I think is important to recognize here is a particular danger is that there are people often in Christian leadership who have rejected or renounced the faith, but somehow seem to keep remaining part of the church. So rather than saying that they've abandoned the faith, they say they've redefined it or they've changed the faith. They essentially become liberals who no longer believe the gospel. Well, in that case, the New Testament says that we need to make sure that we exercise proper church discipline and that they no longer have a place in the life of the church and certainly no role of leadership or teaching within the life of the church. So where people have abandoned the faith for the sake of the protection of the body as a whole, we can't pretend that they're still believers and that they can still exercise ministry in the life of the church, or else otherwise they will lead others astray. And very often the damage that's been caused to the church over the last 150 years is as a result of people who have abandoned the faith, but who have been able to continue to serve as church leaders, theologians and teachers, and the result is that they've led many others astray. So that's a kind of a brief overview of apostasy, what it is, why it happens, how we can avoid it, the help that we get, and how we should respond when people fall sort of from the faith. There are a number of books that I think are really helpful. And again, these are aimed particularly at church leaders to help leaders stay faithful in sort of ministry. So there I've just recommended a sort of a series of sort of books that you might find helpful that will give you realistic expectations of what Christian leadership is like and help you to make sure that you keep going as a Christian leader.